Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Let's get back to the wrench with these two tools. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back. Being joined right now here by Jackson Gatlin, host of the Locked On Rockets podcast. Joining us to talk a little Rockets basketball here this morning as we head tomorrow to free agency starting. Jackson, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited to be a part of the program, guys.
We appreciate you being here. So a lot of stuff floating out there. One of them is, and it was, I don't know if it's confirmed, but it's from a pretty damn good source, that Fred VanVleet is going to get an $85 million two-year deal from the Houston Rockets. Your thoughts and what your the people that follow you, are you getting some response about this thing?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what the Rockets have been very transparent about what they want to do in free agency, right, they want to bring in a veteran guard. They want to bring in a guy who can be a table setter, who can kind of orchestrate the offense. And for a long time, it felt like that name was going to be James Harden. It kind of felt like it was going to be a foregone conclusion. Oh, James is coming back to Houston. It's going to happen. And a lot of that was because it felt like, you know, everybody just assumed that the Rockets were going to basically bend over and give James whatever he wanted, right? Just, you know, 4-year, $200 million max contract. Seems like they basically drew a line in the sand at some point and said, you know what, we're not going to, you know, give you the 4-year max. And so now they've kind of pivoted towards, you know, the next best option at this point, which is Fred VanVleet. And he fits a gigantic need for this Rockets team. He is a veteran leader. He's a great point guard, great table setter, can play on the ball, can play off the ball. And when you look at what the Rockets are trying to do as far as the contracts that they are trying to give out, it kind of makes sense that they want to just give him, you know, a nice little 2-year, you know, maybe overpay for the couple years that they're trying to sign him for. You know, it sounds kind of crazy to, you know, 2 years, $85 million for a guy like Fred VanVleet, but it works out in the grand scheme of things because the Rockets don't want to commit themselves to a bunch of 3- and 4-year long contracts at this point, at this stage in their rebuilding process.
I have a friend of mine who is an NFL agent who played college basketball, and we talk about, you know, we talk about all this. He's got a real problem with, and I understand it, a guy who's coming off last year making, you know, he scored 19.3 points a game, had 7.2 assists, shot 34% from three, shot under 40% from the field, and you're paying him that much money? That is an insane in terms of production versus money. But his biggest problem with it, actually, and this is an interesting take, he said, you are giving that guy from another team money like James Harden, who is a scoring champ for you three times over. He said, what is that going to do for the rest of the players who see VanVleet get that kind of deal? Is that going to cause problems for the rest of the team in terms of when it comes contract time for them and their expectations? And I hadn't really thought of it that way, about whether or not it could have that kind of impact.
You know, honestly, that's a really interesting thing that I also hadn't considered. But at the same time, you got to imagine, right, Fred VanVleet, he had a down year. You know, the shooting percentages were down a little bit. Toronto as a team really struggled. But you look at what he's done historically as a player, right? He's a champion. He's done it in a variety of ways. He's come off the bench. He's played alongside star caliber players. He kind of took over trying to run that Toronto offense in the aftermath of them losing Kawhi Leonard and still had success doing that. So he's at an age, too, where, you know, 29 years old, he's basically more or less still in the prime of his career. I know he's coming off a bit of a down season, numbers-wise, production-wise, whatever. But this is also just kind of the NBA that we live in, right, where, you know, to get a player of his caliber, the Rockets are still, unfortunately, I guess, you know, being impacted a little bit by what we can call, like, the loser tax or maybe the Silas tax a little bit from these past couple seasons. So for them to maybe be able to outbid a team like the Toronto Raptors or anybody else who's going to be pursuing Fred VanVleet this offseason, they're going to probably have to pay a little extra to be able to procure his services. And again, for this team, they don't want multiple years, right? They don't want 3-year deals. They don't want 4-year deals. So they're willing to spend a little bit more in the short term on a shorter 2-year deal, which is why we're hearing the rumors, the reports about that 2-year, $85 million deal going basically full max for Fred VanVleet at this point, because they don't want to be committed to a player for the long term, especially when you look at the guy that they just drafted in Amen Thompson, right? Somebody who they hope is going to be able to take the reins sooner rather than later.
And VanVleet, we're with Jackson Gatlin from Locked On Podcast. VanVleet is 29 years old. Like, you basically, this is always, if he gets a 2-year deal, I can't see him staying with the Rockets beyond 2 years, because you can't follow up on a max contract with another max contract for a player in his 30s with Şengün and Jalen Green coming up. The other player that's been heavily linked to the Rockets with national media has been Brook Lopez. And Brook Lopez obviously has been a very good defensive player. But how do you see the double big concept working out? Can they both be on the court at the same time throughout the regular season? And if they make the playoffs, into the playoffs, how does that work with Şengün and Brook Lopez?
Yeah, so I actually think that lineup actually has a lot of interesting possibilities on both ends of the floor. I think a lot of people look at it as an either-or situation, where if the Rockets were to acquire Brook Lopez, they'd be like, oh, well, Şengün's going to get benched, or they're going to have to choose between who's the starter. First off, I think it would be kind of just a very, case-by-case basis type thing, where maybe one game Şengün's the starter, maybe one game Brook Lopez is the starter. But I also think that there's a world where they coexist at points throughout the game, right? If the Rockets are able to get a guy like Brook Lopez, who's been very vocal about the fact that he still feels like he has a lot to give wherever he goes, whatever his next team is, whether he stays in Milwaukee, whether he goes somewhere else, he still feels like he has a lot to contribute. He's coming off one of the best seasons of his career to finish top 3 in DPOY voting. Insane numbers, insane production. When you think about putting them on the floor together defensively, Brook Lopez is the type of big that you can get away with doing some unique things defensively, right? You basically can just funnel everybody into the paint and make them deal with the tower, the mountain that is Brook Lopez. So you can run a Brook Lopez, Alperen, Şengün double big lineup and just basically funnel everything into the interior. And you can even envision a front court lineup where you've got Brook Lopez, Şengün, and then Jabari Smith Jr. as your 5-4-3, all occupying so much space on the court and really clogging things up for the opposing team. And then offensively, I think it's actually a beautiful fit, because Brook Lopez can space the floor. He's a great three-point shooter. You put him out on the perimeter. You let Alperen Şengün do his work down low. Or you can even put Brook Lopez in the dunker spot. And Alpi's such a fantastic passer. If they send a double team, if they try to help off of anybody else on the floor at all, he's going to find the open man or be able to just lob the ball over the top to Brook Lopez where nobody else can get to it.
We're with Jackson Gatlin here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, talking Rockets basketball. There's another guy that's been mentioned, well, a couple of guys. Dylan Brooks has been a guy that has been mentioned and is a possibility. Bruce Brown is also another guy. That's a winner. Ime has said, I want winners. I want guys who are championship caliber. You've got that in Lopez. You've got that in Fred VanVleet. You've got that in Bruce Brown. What about, okay, let's start with Dylan Brooks. What do you think of him?
Well, first off, if the Rockets offer a contract to Bruce Bowen to bring him out of retirement, I think he's got a problem.
Not Bruce Bowen.
No, look, Bruce Brown is fantastic, right? He was such an integral piece of what the Nuggets were able to do during their postseason run, right? His production off the bench, he's really evolved himself as a player. A couple years ago, you wouldn't have thought of him as a shooter whatsoever. He's really kind of helped iron out that part of his game. He's still not, a fantastic three-point threat, but he's gotten better to where at least you have to respect him from that side of the floor. He's a great point of attack defender, smart player, great cutter. He would be a fantastic addition to this team. The only issue is, right, we've kind of, there's this understanding that the Rockets need to add multiple pieces this offseason, and I think the easiest way to look at it is they probably need to add a guard, a wing, and a big. And Bruce Brown, unfortunately, he's a guard that kind of plays like a wing. So if you added him, he would basically be your wing addition filling that role. But he is a bit undersized for what I think the Rockets would want out of that position. If they bring in, you know, a true wing player, I feel like it's somebody that they want to bring in to potentially be the starter moving forward for this team. And I don't think you comfortably put Bruce Brown in the three spot as your starter moving forward. So even though he's a fantastic player, I don't think he's the answer for this Rockets team. And on the Dylan Brooks front, you know, he's a really polarizing figure. You know, there's a lot of people, you either love him or you hate him. I've really warmed up to the idea of what Dylan Brooks could bring to this team. You know, he's definitely not at the top of my free agent list for the Rockets, but I can absolutely see the reasons why they would pursue him, right? He's an all-NBA caliber defender. He, you know, has played for a Grizzlies team that has done a lot of winning these past few seasons, so he's coming away from a team that kind of understands what it takes to be able to be in the upper echelon of NBA teams. And I know there's, you know, maybe a negative perception about him with all the jawing, the talking back and forth with LeBron, and then getting kind of showed up in the playoffs. But at the same time, you can also, you know, on the flip side of that, it's cool to have a guy with some fire, right, some intensity on your team who's not going to back down from one of the greatest players of all time. Now, obviously, the trash talk kind of came back and bit him in the ass a little bit, but like, it's one of those things where you appreciate that fight, that desire, that intensity. And I do think there's a lot of intangibles that he might be able to bring to the table and really kind of impart that wisdom, that knowledge to so many of the other young wings that the Rockets have in Tari Eason, Jabari, Cam Whitmore now, KJ Martin, all these guys.
All right, let's say they bring in those three. They bring in Brooks, they bring in Brook Lopez, they bring in Van Vliet. We got a question here from the gallery. How many wins does this team have?
Man, if they bring in those three, and assuming that, you know, the young guys continue to take steps forward, and Ime Udoka is who we think he is, I think they could hit 35 wins. You know, and that's kind of a conservative estimate, but I think that so far the Rockets have crushed this offseason, and I think 35 wins and being a play-in team is definitely on the table if that's what we're looking at as the free agency outcome.
Yeah, that's the number I think that. That's the number I was thinking of, too, is 35. And that's a big jump, too, by the way.
It's a big jump, but it's one where it matches the talent. And usually when you have young talent, you can make big jumps very, very quickly. I think the real key is going to be, I do think that switching coaches, Jackson, from Steven Silas's methodology to a guy who learned under Greg Popovich in Udoka, who knows what winning looks like. You know, he was on a team that had a successful team with the Celtics. I really believe that his demands for this team could potentially weed out players who maybe are not part of a winning culture, but really establish who the Rockets are going to be moving forward. I think this is more than any free agent signing. This is the most important signing was Ime Udoka.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there. Going into this offseason, figuring out what the next step was going to be in the coaching department was going to be the biggest addition that the Rockets were going to be able to make. I even went so far as saying that, look, even if the Rockets had won the lottery and they won the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes, which honestly, it might be looking like they dodged a bullet there. Shout out, pray for Brichter, because the dude can't hit any shots in an open gym. But, you know, honestly, figuring out who the next head coach was going to be was such an important step for this organization from a perception standpoint, just from how the league views the Houston Rockets. They've been at the bottom of the scrap heap for so many years, right? You needed kind of a fresh coat of paint, if you will. And Ime kind of provides that. He's a guy that has a ton of respect league-wide from players, coaches, front office personnel. And then just from the actual basketball acumen, right? He is a fantastic coach, and I think that he is exactly what this team needs. And when you look at kind of where the Rockets are at organizationally, when you look at where Ime is at, right, it's almost like this is like the rehabilitation team a little bit, right? Because the Rockets need to rehab their image from the past few years. Ime needs to prove, kind of prove the doubters wrong after the situation in Boston, and kind of be like, hey, Boston was, you know, it was their mistake to let me go, given, you know, obviously that whole situation. But, like, this is a really fantastic opportunity, and I think there's kind of a low bar for success for Ime at this point, and I think he's going to, you know, surpass it with flying colors. He's the leader that this team has sorely missed for a long time.
That's Jackson Gatlin, host of the Locked On Rockets podcast at jtgatlin.com. Hey, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good talking some Rockets with you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Taking a break, June Lee going to join us at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, talking some Astros baseball with at June Lee, J-O-O-N-L-E-E. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
If you missed Late Hits with Patrick Creighton this week, you missed this. One.
Is it not ironic the things that expand your mind are illegal and the things that dumb you down have been legal for centuries? Is Aaron Rodgers basically just Dr. Timothy Leary reincarnated, the world's foremost proponent of LSD and psychedelic drugs in the 60s?
You really know a lot about the psychedelics and the psilocybin. Have you ever done acid?
I have never done acid. I have never deliberately done any illegal drugs in my life. Now, I may have been roofied. At this party, I wound up just sitting on the floor, unable to move. What? I could see everything, and I could understand everything, but I couldn't move.
Late Hits with Patrick Creighton, weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. only on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
She see money all around me.
Now back to two guys who would by now be recognized as common law married in at least 8 states, John and Lance, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, quick segment here because we got June Lee at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the story, okay, so we haven't played Amen Thompson with the Amen Thompson. He is, these two, you know, this, these two are basketball savants.
Yeah. They only have iPhone 5s for a while.
Well, I mean, that's probably not the best way to describe how into basketball they are.
Right.
Do you have the one where Amen is talking to, is telling this girl where everybody was drafted? This is, okay, so this is overtime and OTE.
Overtime elite, yeah.
Overtime, yeah, and OAT. And there is a female here asking Amen Thompson, and you'll hear the questions, who was drafted first? This is pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, I listened to these, and it's there's some tricky ones in
here. Here is Amen talking with, and just watch how quick he is with this.
Who was drafted higher?
Jokic or Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler. Butler, yeah. Taco Bell commercial, I seen it.
Steph or Dame?
Dame. He was 6, right?
Yes.
I know for a fact Steph was 7.
Chris Paul or Bradley Beal?
Chris Paul was 4. Brad Beal was 3rd. So Bradley,
yeah. Luka or Ja?
Ja.
KD or Michael Jordan?
KD.
Jamal Murray or Paul George?
It's Jamal Murray, because Paul George was like 10. Paul.
Yeah. Is this, okay, so RJ, you've seen this video, right? Is it edited like to where when I say edited to make it seem, is it edited to make it for brevity's sake, to make it quick? Like, is he answering that quickly?
Yes.
So the question is asking, he answers that fast.
Yes.
He's not waiting where they cut some time in between to make it quicker. There's no
not
quick
that
cut.
I see. No, I've watched the video and it's question and answer.
So his answers are that fast.
That fast.
Wow. That is.
Well, so I think he pauses up here on one of them. Let's see. Keep going.
KD.
Jamal Murray or Paul George?
It's Jamal Murray, because Paul George is like 10, maybe.
Yep.
Jamal Murray is like 6 or 7.
LaMelo Ball or Trae Young?
Ooh, LaMelo.
James Harden or Russell Westbrook?
James Harden.
Giannis or Devin Booker?
Devin Booker. I already knew that.
You haven't gotten any wrong yet. Embiid or Tatum?
They were tied.
I can't drink it.
Bam Adebayo or Jalen Brunson?
Bam.
Kyle Lowry or Jordan Poole?
Oh, I know Kyle Lowry is late. I'm going to say tied.
Say Kyle?
I said tied.
It's Kyle. But
Rudy Gobert or Draymond Green?
Rudy Gobert.
Kawhi or Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero.
Yes!
Is that amazing?
Wow.
And what was the other story that you were telling me this morning, RJ?
Oh, yeah. So I'm trying to look for it right now. But Amin and Asir did a video together where a guy asked them, name as many players as you can that begin with the letter A.
As many players as you can in the NBA that begin with the letter A. Do you have it?
See, my kids would be pretty good at this because they know all the players. They'd also be good at this.
Oh, they wouldn't know as many as this.
Not the draft one. You don't think?
No.
Remember, they don't do anything. Not in school. They don't have to do overtime.
Well, I can tell you
practice.
This. If you're going to compare basketball knowledge with Amin and Asir,
you better. Well, Mike, remember now, my kids don't work hard in school. They don't play basketball. They just
well, these
they
two don't go to school.
Well, they have basketball practice all the time.
Yeah.
And they play games.
All right.
My kids have a lot of time to sit around and do nothing but play NBA 2K, and they know all the rosters.
Here are Amin and Asir. Name a player that starts with the letter A.
Do you think they knew these questions?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't.
Let's hear it.
You guys each have to list off players that start with the letter A until one of you guys mess up.
Is it Kurt?
Anthony Simons. Anthony Edwards. Anthony Davis.
Al Horford.
Alex Caruso.
Andre Iguodala.
I want Iguodala.
Is Anthony Lamb still in the NBA?
He's not in the league anymore.
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins. Okay.
Austin Reeves.
Aaron Gordon.
Austin Rivers.
Aaron Wiggins.
From downtown.
Alec Pokusevski.
Wow.
Amir Coffey.
No, that was mine.
That twin telepathy. All right, what do you got?
Anthony Gill. I don't know if that's a player.
Anthony Gill.
Aaron Eastman.
Andrew Nembhard.
Woo! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amin Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. Amin Thompson.
These guys love ball.
They are basketball
love ball.
Nerds.
They're basketball nerds.
They're basketball nerds. We
that's
say
a
savants.
Good, you know what?
Wanna,
you know what?
We want to dress it up. We say savants, but they're basketball nerds. And you know what this team could use? A basketball nerd.
Yeah. I was a little incredulous with the organization saying he was second on our list. Amin was second, and I was like, okay, you're picking second. You're not taking Brandon Miller.
I don't believe.
I don't.
But still, that's
I find
fine.
That hard to believe.
That's fine.
But I will say this. I want somebody.
I believe he's at a school.
I want somebody. I once heard a scout say, "Man, I don't want any football players that write poetry.
I want a basketball player.
I want a
who,
football player
who loves
that
ball.
Just,
I bet he loves a football player who loves ball, though.
That's exactly right.
I love a basketball player who loves ball. You know what I really thought was very cool watching? I watched the highlights of both of the twins on draft day. One of the things that stood out is there's not a lot of celebration about doing things. It's almost like it's an expectation. I was watching. They were talking about the other Thompson twin, and they were showing highlights, and he'd come over on the weak side, block a shot, and he didn't flex or start going, ooh. It's just like he moved on to the next play, and it's almost like not that you can't be a good player if you do the other stuff, but what I'm saying is it was almost like a business-like approach where both of them, on their highlights, it's almost like just because we're great athletes and do explosive athletic stuff, there was not a...
That's my job.
It was just like on to the next one to him. And you can, it kind of starting to all come together. The pieces are coming together. You hear this, and you know, this is somebody who lives basketball. These twins live basketball. And if you get it from one, you're getting it from both. They live basketball, and then they actually, when they're playing, they like expect to be good, expect to make good plays.
I'm kind of getting more and more excited about this because I know a lot of people are excited about Amin Thompson. I just don't know enough about, I didn't see one Ignite game, so I can't tell you, but. But I do know that Ime is excited about having him on the team. As a coach, you got to love a kid that just loves ball. We got a break. June Lee talking Astros baseball on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
preeminent NFL draft analysts, the Godfather of Houston sports talk. Put them together and you get the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Welcome back. Joon Lee, staff writer for ESPN at J-O-O-N Lee on Twitter, joining us here to talk some baseball. Joon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you being here. Before we get to the Astros, I just don't know that what we're watching with Shohei Ohtani is the greatest. I've been watching baseball. Obviously, we love baseball. Been watching for a long time. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody, and I don't know that baseball's ever seen anybody, and I don't know that we talk about him enough, do we?
Have we seen anything in sports like this? That's the question I'm asking myself right now. I think the answer is no, because the comparison that I've had, I think we need to move beyond the Babe Ruth comparison. Like, I was talking about him in the lens of Bo Jackson over the course of last year, and even that, I think, is kind of putting Ohtani short, because Ohtani's done this at a higher level than Bo did across football and baseball for a longer period of time. He's basically been one of the MVP favorites for three seasons now. And so when you compare that, like, I think we're looking not just at a generational talent, like a once-in-a-century transformative sports figure, the type of guy who can attract new people who are casual sports fans to baseball and sports as a whole. Like, he's the type of guy that Babe Ruth was in the early 1910s, you know, the 1920s, where Babe Ruth basically became the first American celebrity doing endorsement deals. You know, he's endorsing everything from, you know, hot dogs to underwear. Like, Ohtani, I think, is going to fall into the same lens, because, you know, the conversations I've had with folks at Major League Baseball, they aren't just about trying to grow the sport in America. They're really big picture vision right now, and their main focus is growing the sport internationally around the world. And one Major League executive I talked to said that Ohtani is the entire plan. Like, between trying to put together an MLB streaming service where the league has all the rights and you can, you know, log on to MLB TV and watch any baseball game from around the world without any blackouts, Ohtani's kind of at the center of that, because you look at him as a guy, he doesn't need to speak any language in order for the average casual sports fan to understand why he's so special. I mean, you look at a guy like Lionel Messi, right? Like, Messi doesn't really speak English very well, but people around the world, including in America, know who he is, despite not necessarily understanding what he's saying, because when you watch Lionel Messi highlights, you understand the greatness immediately, and I think that's basically what Ohtani is for baseball and this generation.
Yeah, it's almost impossible that not enough is being made of it, because everyone respects it and talks about it. I guess maybe the right amount of attention is being given to it, but Ohtani has, I don't know, borderline Cy Young stuff as a pitcher, and then is a clear MVP front runner, and frankly has played like that for a couple of years now. It is just, I just don't know if people are truly grasping it and giving it the amount of weight that it deserves. Because think about this. You mentioned Bo Jackson. These are cross-sport things. I have a lot of respect for cross-sport. But this is two completely different things you're asking the guy to do, to pitch and to hit. And he is elite at both of these. It's like we see in Little League Baseball almost.
Yeah, it's like the coach's kid at like T-ball who's, you know, hitting well and fielding well and just plays shortstop and also pitches and everything in between. That's the most extreme level. I mean, it's the thing that always jumps out to me when I talk to people around Major League Baseball about Shohei Ohtani is that everyone talks about him like they're a little kid again. Like, he invokes the sense of innocence in all of us, where because he expands our idea of what's possible on a baseball field, he makes us feel like we're falling in love with baseball all over again, because he's doing something that we could have only imagined superheroes or video game characters to do before, but he's doing it on a day to day, a week to week basis. And it's inspiring to watch. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, I think back to the conversations we had as a sports media culture when Ohtani came over, and people were doubting whether or not he would be able to stick it at the plate, whether or not he would be able to hit major league pitching. And then he made it pretty clear, especially after undergoing Tommy John surgery and he was sidelined from pitching on the mound, that he was a top-tier power hitter. And then the conversation switched again where people were like, oh, maybe he should just stick to hitting and give up the pitching. And now that he's done it for 3 years, I mean, at this point, I don't even want to put any limits on him. People are having conversations about how long could he actually do this. Like, I think at this point, we just need to, like, enjoy the ride like we're on a roller coaster and just live in this moment because, you know, we don't know how long it's going to happen. It could go on for, you know, another 6 months. It could go on for another decade. Like, at this point, I'm just willing to enjoy what we're seeing in front of us on a night-to-night basis and recognize that on any given night, Ohtani could be achieving history.
June Lee with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What is the national perception of the Houston Rockets in 2023?
The Houston Rockets?
Astros. Did I say Rockets?
Yeah, we just got done with the Rockets.
No, you just got done with the Rockets
interview. Segment, yeah. But do you have thoughts on the Rockets?
No. What is the perception of the Astros in 2023?
I think people are a little bit confused. I think part of it is that starting rotation. I think the pitching staff in general has been kind of worn thin to the point where I think people don't necessarily recognize, like, why, like, you know, the fact that, like, Framber Valdez, you know, or Keedy or all those guys not necessarily having their full health this year has obviously had a huge impact on this Astros team. But I think in general, like, this is, I think when it comes to October, everyone's going to be afraid of the Astros. Like, Jordan Alvarez hasn't been all the way there this season. Like, Jose Abreu hasn't been the hitter that people expected this season. I think that you look at the talent on the Astros roster, it's still like, well, you know, they're in the wild card spot right now. They're still the Houston Astros. Like, Framber Valdez has been very, very good in the playoffs in the past. Like, we've seen this rotation be very good in the past. And so I think when you consider the talent on the roster, it's hard to kind of look at it any other way than, you know, if the Astros get to October, like, all bets are off because, you know, it's not like basketball or football where it's off of the top seeds that get in. Like, we've seen with the Philadelphia Phillies, you know, the Braves a couple of years ago. You just need to get in. And if you get hot at the right time, you're going to have a shot to win the World Series. And the Astros clearly have enough talent to win the World Series on an annual basis.
Yeah, but this is a weird year because of the injuries of the pitching staff. And John and I were talking about, you know, Christian Javier, something's going on with Christian Javier. The velocity is down. He can't strike people out all of a sudden. There's something that's not right with him, and I expect the Astros to start talking about something any day now. You've got, you know, McCullers is done for the year. Garcia is done for the year. You have Urquidy coming back at some point. I just wonder if this is one of the years where the Astros have to make a tough decision. Do we try to keep ourselves in this at the trade deadline, or do we just say, look, let's just play the ball how it lies. Let's play the cards that are in our hands, and let's see what happens. And if we need to move to next year, we'll move to next year.
I mean, I think they need to add something to the bullpen. Like, I think that you'd be doing this group a disservice, given that you have, you know, Framber in his prime. You've got Alex Bregman, obviously, still. You know, Jeremy Pena has continued to have a good year. Mauricio Dubon has been, you know, an excellent second baseman and infielder this year. I mean, I think when you look at the talent of this group, I think you would be doing a disservice. Jordan Alvarez, you know, it's easy to phrase this because he hasn't, you know, been healthy the entire season. It would be a disservice to this group to, I think, you know, kind of stand pat. I think that, especially just given the fact that there's a clear weakness with this team, with the bullpen, and Rafael Montero, you know, being being absolutely useless this season. When you consider all of those things, I think it would, if the Astros add to the bullpen, like, for me as a, you know, someone who doesn't necessarily watch the Astros on a night-to-night basis, riding the fan roller coaster of the Houston Astros, like, I still look at this team and it's like, when you get to October, especially because you have guys like Mauricio Dubon kind of stepping up, you know, kind of guys you wouldn't necessarily expect, kind of filling in some of the slots in the lineup as well, like, this is a team that I would still be afraid of come October, despite all the struggles with the health and the rotation and the bullpen, you know, being a disaster, of course, last week, couple weeks or so.
You expect the Rangers to make a move? A big move?
I mean, they're kind of already all in. So if I'm the Rangers, like, I would be continuing to go all in. Like, one of the things I'm really interested about right now is what the Mets situation looks like, because Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander are on a team that doesn't seem like they're going to have much of a shot at getting to postseason. Like, obviously, things have crazy things have happened, like teams have come back from 8.5 games back of the wild card and made the playoffs over the course of the last 4 years or so. But if the Mets at this point are out of it, Verlander and Scherzer, especially given after what Steve Cohen said yesterday, he said that he's willing to eat money in order to get a better prospect return, that might make Verlander and Scherzer two of the more attractive guys on the trade market heading into the deadline. And, you know, a team like the Rangers, like, they're already all in. Like, if you're already all in and willing to spend a ton of money to go out and get Jacob DeGrom, you know, obviously he's out for the season, Nathan Eovaldi, you know, you're paying Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Josh Jung is obviously having a rookie of the year campaign right now. Like, this is a team that's trying to win it this year. If Scherzer and Verlander are available at the deadline, like, that's the type of team that I would suspect would be extremely interested in, not just those two guys, but a lot of starting pitching out on the open market.
And you grow championships, you just don't buy them. And this could be an opportunity. If they move both of those guys, the potential to rebuild with young talent as your new – find core guys like the Astros have been able to make it a sustainable product. I think it's a really intriguing and interesting concept because from a team-building standpoint, it really gives you a fast-forward start depending on what you're willing to eat from a money standpoint on some of these in terms of bringing in new players who are – your next generation, even if they are in Double A right now.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of the plan for the Mets. They wanted this kind of 3-year window to try to continue going for a World Series title while they spent, their resources trying to build back up their farm system, as they did not have a ton of depth when Steve Cohen and Billy Epler took over that team, and so. You know, they've been trying to kind of play it both ways. If it really does not go their way this season, like, they're in a spot to, if they're willing to eat a lot of money on the Scherzer and Verlander contract, which it seems like Steve Cohen is willing to, just because he said yesterday that he already views that money as spent. And so, you know, you might as well go out and try to get as many good prospects as possible. Yeah, it's a really fascinating situation in New York because Cohen's financial capital, just him having more money than any other owner in not just baseball, but pretty much sports, the Cutter Sports Investment Fund, him having more money, it kind of changes the dynamic of how you think about building a team. Like, you know, I was talking to folks around baseball where there were, it's going to be hard to trade Verlander and Scherzer because of, you know, the $40-plus million, the $86 million combined that those two guys are due. But it's Steve Cohen, like, $43 million, like, yes, he's continuing to, I guess, lose money on an annual basis this year, but he's thinking about the big picture and trying to grow the prestige of the Mets, and over the course of the next couple of decades, growing the valuation of that franchise. And he wants to win. And if going after prospects is the best path for the Mets to win, I think he's going to be willing to spend that money.
It's June Lee, at June Lee on Twitter. Talk a little baseball with him here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So quickly, before you go, for Astros fans out there that have been disheartened, you know, there's some guys coming back. Jordan is now hitting. Michael Brantley is hitting and fielding. Jose Urquidy has been throwing some bullpens. We can't give up hope just yet, can we?
Yeah, it's such a cliche at this point, but it really rings true, especially in, like, the dog days of the summer. Like, it's one day at a time, and, like, most teams in baseball would kill to be in Houston's spot right now. To have Jordan Alvarez as their piece of the line, Alex Bregman, to have a guy like Framber Valdez, who has, you know, I think been one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball over the course of the last couple of seasons, you know, have just generally the talent foundation that Houston has. Most teams would kill to be in that spot. Yes, there are reasons to be concerned, but every single team around baseball has reasons to be concerned right now, I think, heading into the deadline. And there's very few situations that I would choose fully healthy over the Houston Astros if I were just starting franchise from scratch right now.
That's June Lee. Hey, we appreciate your time, man. Good stuff, and thanks for joining us. I hope we do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, June Lee here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Taking a break. When we come back, news of the weird, and then we're done, and Paul Gallant takes over. That's next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out for that foot bone.
I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the jaw with my foot bone.
Time now for news of the weird with John and Lance.
Weird. Weird. John and Lance Weird.
News of the weird.
News. News.
Weird. All right, you're going to, you're going to be traveling overseas.
Yeah,
you get jet lag, right?
I can beat it.
You can beat it?
I defeat jet lag. Jet lag doesn't get me. Well, I think it's my years of going to Glass Paw. I'm done.
What the hell is this? Why is... What is this about?
Well, I do. I mean, I missed the show on Monday.
You did.
Yeah.
You know what can cure it, Paul?
What's that?
Chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yes. Actually, a new study out says if you are traveling overseas, eat chocolate and you could defeat jet lag.
Eating chocolate? Huh.
Why are you here? This is weird. Okay?
It's news of the weird.
This is news of the weird and news of the Paul now.
News of the Paul.
News of the Paul. I heard your piece on the woman getting engaged on the airplane yesterday.
Yeah, that's a terrible job.
That's one of your best work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Really good. That meet my son. You had my son and I both chuckling at that one. That was good stuff. Why are you here again? I need to know this.
Well, I mean, look, I need more airtime. So I when I have you on from Thursdays, but I kind of felt nervous about asking you again. You didn't.
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
Felt awkward. Yeah.
I wasn't going
to
do it.
So I paid Lance this time.
So you're. Oh, you paid Lance to get off of our show.
Well, it's cheaper. It's cheaper than paying you.
Sucks for me, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So you're like Tom Hanks's niece. Did you see her meltdown after she was knocked off that show on ABC?
He has a niece too that's also messed up.
Oh, she is a whack job.
More a whack job than Chet.
Then yeah, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Hell?
No. She
is she single?
Is an I think so.
Okay.
If you're looking for some, there you go. You can get you some. Did you know that pigeons dream of flying? Did you know that?
But I thought they could fly.
Yes, but they also dream of it.
Good for them.
Yeah, I don't know how we got into their brains to figure that one out.
Who released that study? Because that bird's not real.
It was some study, the Nature Communications, from Nature Communications.
Oh, well, apparently. That sounds like it's made by the government, because everyone knows that birds were all replaced in 1947 because all pigeons and all birds are actually government drones.
Gianan Ungarian, who's with the Avion Sleep Group. He was able to decipher that they... Who cares? 30% of Americans say they have menu anxiety at restaurants. Do you have menu anxiety?
Well, when I get there, it's more, does it have cheese on it? Because I don't eat
well, that's not anxiety.
That is anxiety.
That's like a 12-year-old is all.
Oh, well, fine. I mean, I guess I'm 12 years old. Sorry, I want to have my meal my way. BK, have it your way.
I know people that do. My son has been. He's always thought, no, go with that first. I'm still. Because he wants to make sure that he gets the best possible thing.
Does he look for the most expensive thing?
No, but he's not afraid to order the most expensive thing.
I do get nervous about ordering something expensive if I'm not paying for the tab.
Yeah. No. And you know what? That's funny because my daughter's boyfriend yesterday, like, ordered something, the cheapest thing on the menu. And I was like, well, you know what? I didn't say anything, but I was like, That's pretty cool
that he
cares about that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, about my money, okay? Did you see the 23-year-old man who posed as the Las Vegas hotel and casino owner?
Yeah, he stole
more than $1 million?
Well, John, that's one of our hotels. That's the Circa Hotel.
Yeah, at Circa.
So, you know people, right?
Yeah.
We gotta find this guy. We gotta take him down.
I think he has been taken down.
No, I know, but I mean that's not enough.
Eric Gutierrez pretended to be the. They know who he is.
Is jail enough? I mean,
well, what do you? Why? No,
guys would know. I would never deign to know any of these
things. Gotta give him some love. This is Ocean's 11. This is. I mean, I'm not. I don't want him to do more.
Cut?
You don't appreciate the.
No, because it happened to Circa. That's my hotel, John. That's my sponsor. That is my ad read I get at them from time to time.
Now they're out of money and they can't pay you.
I need money.
That's all right. I'm a nugget guy. I don't care about your stuff. That's it. We're done. Paul is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, everybody.
The Alexa, turn it off. Alexa,
Elizabeth, hello.
The girl that I'd see around town, and hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true, but I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Makes no sense, I know crazy. Give up all this that's in my lap, no looking back. Spaceships don't come equipped.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
You're listening. At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.